And go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. You know that Pastor Shannon not only heads up Walk Through Bethlehem and heads up as our outreach pastor, but also works with singles. And we mentioned the mug, but another vital part of his ministry is the Freedom Found, which is helping Christians to overcome any type of addictive behavior that's negative, okay? And certainly that's real. I mean, can a Christian find themselves in bondage to addictive behavior, yes or no? Absolutely. I mean, it could happen to any of us, and it does happen, and it just happens, you know? And so he's there to provide that help. So Monday night is that Freedom Found night when they really focus on that, and certainly anybody's welcome to go to that. That's a great ministry, and it's just taking you through the Bible and just giving you steps from the Bible, the Bible principles on that. But I know, Shannon, you've preached from this text, and I have before too, but I thought this might be a great text to go back to as our final service right before Walk Through Bethlehem. There's a positive type of addiction here, and you know where I'm going with this. But there's a positive type of addiction that a family had here. And I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 16, 15. And he says, I beseech you, brethren, for you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. And that they, that is the house, that family there, they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They've addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. So they were addicted to ministry. You say, Pastor Dan, what is ministry? Well, ministry is giving to and serving others. It's giving to and serving others. Whenever we're involved in, we call it ministry. Whenever we're involved in ministry, ministry is not something that happens to us. It's something that happens through us, and then in turn makes us a blessing to others. Ministry is something that happens through us. Now, there are times in our life when we need ministry ourselves. Absolutely. There are times when we need to be ministered to, and somebody's going to serve us, and somebody's going to minister to us. Somebody's going to help us. Someone's going to encourage us. Somebody's going to edify us. Absolutely. We all need that. We all need to be ministered to at times. But when we are involved in ministry, we are not having people serve us. Rather, we are serving somebody else. We are giving to somebody else. Not necessarily money, but we're giving of our time. We're giving our compassion. We're giving our love. We're giving our concern. We're giving of ourselves to other people. That's ministry. It's giving to others. The Bible says in Philippians 2:4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Everybody say that word with me? Others. Ministry is about what?
Others.
It's about others. You know, when the Bible says, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others, that is not a verse that you quote to say, see there, I'm a busybody in other people's matters, but it's in the Bible. I'm looking on other people's things. No, that's not what it's talking about. When it says, look on other people's things, what it's saying is, focus on others. Minister to others. Let Christ flow through you to be a blessing to somebody else. We live in a time period right now, I think, in America where because of the, I don't know how to word this, because of the desire for churches to be big and to build a kingdom, so to speak, you know, themselves, and to have a mega church and to have all the bells and whistles and all this. I think because of that, what happened, we've kind of fostered, I think, a mentality among many, church is a place where I go and I am served. Church is about me being served, you know, and it's about It's about me. You know, what the church can do for my kids and what the church can do for my teens and what the church can do, to make sure that they have the coffee that I like, you know. And make sure that I have the coffee. Make sure I have the pastries I like. Make sure they have this and that. And so what happens is so many times churches more or less kind of encourage that. And I want to remind you of this, all right, that ministry is what Christ came to do. And to me, this is what I see in the Bible. I don't know how you can be like Christ if you're not serving. I don't know how you can be like Christ if you're not serving. Because Christ came to serve. He came to minister. He came to be a blessing to others. And to me, if the Spirit of Christ is working through you, like I said, yeah, there is a time to be served. There is a time when you have to be ministered to. But I think if the Spirit of Christ is working in us, we should want to be a blessing to other people. And I think that ministry is the essence of the Christian life. You say, well, why is that, Pastor Dan? And I think this is timely to think about this, because as we are about to embark on 6 very hard, very stressful, for many, very physically exhausting days. And there's no doubt about it that it is for so many. It's physically exhausting. There are people that just give and give and give. And I think this is a message to kind of help remind you that yes, ministry is giving. It costs you something. Ministry is giving of yourself, and it's serving others, and it's making others happy, and it's trying to bless them, and that's what ministry is, and that's what it's all about. And I think that when we minister, it's the essence of the Christian life, because when you minister, you are actively living out your salvation. How many of you are glad to be saved tonight? Amen? Isn't it great to be saved? Isn't it awesome? I mean, just to know you're saved, to know you're going to heaven, to know that for all eternity, I'm going to be with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, isn't that a blessing? I mean, that's just awesome. But you know what? That salvation lives in us right now, and God wants it to live through us. He wants us to live it out. And it's interesting, in verse 15, Paul writes, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. Now, what he means by that is that these were some of Paul's first converts in Achaia. Paul had led this family to Jesus Christ. I don't know how many is in the household. I don't know how many people that represents, but it must represent several, because he calls it the household of Stephanas. So there must be a maybe extended family, you know, and just a lot of people here. And they all got saved. And it appears that this was a family of means, okay? But they were saved. When they got saved, they began to use their wealth, use their resources to minister to others. He said they were addicted to the ministry of the saints. Now, you know, all of us in here, if we're honest, we all have a natural inclination to seek personal comfort and to use our energy to serve ourselves, if we're honest. There's that fleshly instinct that we use our energy to further us. We use our energy to benefit us, you know, and we serve ourselves. That is a fleshly, you know, inclination, is that we want to use our energy to benefit us, to further what we're doing, to benefit us. But salvation had changed everything for this family, and salvation always does. When a person trusts Jesus Christ and realizes all that Christ has done to save them from eternal damnation, you are so thankful that you want to give back to Jesus Christ. Not out of guilt, not out of shame, not out of fear. You want to give back out of gratitude. I know that's how it was with me. I, You know, as a teenager, I never thought about serving other people. I mean, I was just your typical teen that I'm going to do what I do to benefit me, that'll further my cause, that'll help me along. And when I got saved, all of a sudden, salvation brought in me a different attitude, a different outlook. And now it's like when I got saved, I wanted to be involved serving. I wanted to minister. I wanted to be a blessing to other people. And when you get saved, Christ changes you on the inside. It's not that you're perfect. You're still going to at times be selfish and be tempted to be selfish and be tempted to be self-centered and to be fleshly. But when salvation comes to live inside of you, it ought to change you. It ought to change your outlook. And ministry becomes very natural and it becomes very normal for the true Christian. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus Christ came to the earth to give. He came to minister. Take your Bible real quick, and can I just show you a couple verses I think that'll be a blessing to you? Go to Matthew 20. Let me show you a verse there. Matthew chapter 20. Keep your bookmarker there, Corinthians. We'll go back to our text. But flip back to Matthew, and I want to show you something here. Matthew 20. And let's look at verse number 28. Verse 27 and 28. Jesus is talking to the disciples. And he says in verse 20, let's go to 26, all right? But it's all good here. But it shall, he said, but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you. You want to be great? Let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give. Notice that word give. He came to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came to this earth to give and to minister. Question, whenever you get saved, we learned this morning, when you get saved, do you become the habitation of God? Not difficult. I just covered it this morning. All right? When you get saved, do you become the habitation of God? You're the house of God, right? You're the temple of God. You are the temple, the house, the family, whatever you want to call it. We said this morning, you know, church, house, temple, family, household, all those different. You become the habitation of God, Ephesians 2 says. Now, when you get saved, the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8, Spirit of Christ, we read it this morning, the Spirit of Christ comes to dwell. Remember what I kept telling you to underline this morning? The Spirit of Christ comes to dwell where? In you. Good. Amen. You were listening this morning. All right. In you. The Spirit of Christ comes to dwell in you. Now, when that Spirit comes to dwell in you, do you believe that the Spirit of Christ then would bring a desire in you to want to serve and minister? If he came to minister, and that's the essence of who he was, and his Spirit comes to live inside of you, then what should a Christian want to do? Should want to serve. Should want to minister. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, and let me show you another verse here that kind of bears that out, that thought, that when the Spirit of Christ comes in you, when you get saved, there's that desire to want to serve, to want to minister, to want to let him flow through you. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 10. It says, for we are, and that verse 8 is that great verse about how we're saved by faith, right? Through faith. All right, it's not of works. Am I saved by my works? No, I'm saved by, we covered that this morning. We are saved by what alone? Faith alone. You are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. But now look at this. So we know that, verses 8 and 9. We know that. We understand we're saved by faith. But verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, and we are created a new person. See, you're created a new creature in Christ Jesus. But notice, you're created, you're his workmanship. And why did he create you? Why did he make you a new person? Why did he send his Spirit to dwell inside of you? It says, unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, a Christian needs to have an outlet to minister, to give back. Hey, would you agree with me? God has given us so much in Christ. Well, that's great. We take that in. Now, I'm going to make this statement. And on the surface, you may not understand this statement at first. But I'll explain it. You can attend church every time the doors are open. You can read your Bible every day. You can read Christian books. You can listen to sermons in your car or online all during the week. You can go to Bible studies. And you can be lifeless, unfruitful, and unproductive. Now, I know that seems weird right there, what I just said. But here's the thing. What does the Bible teach in 1 Corinthians? Knowledge puffeth up, but charity, love. Love is action, right? Love is giving. Knowledge puffs up, but charity what? Edifieth. It builds up others. It helps others. Knowledge puffeth up. And that's why I say you can go to Bible study 7 days a week, go to church every time the doors are open, you can read Christian books, and you can be lifeless, unfruitful, unproductive. There has to be an outlet for you to give back. And that outlet is called your ministry. Let's test something real quick, okay? On the count of three, I'm going to tell you to breathe in, and I want you to take a breath in, okay? And then it's kind of like Simon says, I'm going to tell you to breathe in or breathe out, okay? You ready? All right, here we go. This is good lung exercise right here, all right? Here you go. One, two, three, breathe in. Breathe in. Breathe in. Breathe in. Breathe in. Breathe in. Don't breathe out. Breathe in. Okay, stop. I don't want anybody croaking on me here, all right? How does that work out? How does it work if all you ever do is breathe in and never breathe out? How does that work out? Don't work out too good, does it? Right, you die, right? If all you do is breathe in and you never breathe out, you know what? At some point, you pass out, you die, whatever. When you study God's Word, which you ought to do, and you go to church, which is a great thing to do, and you go to life groups and Bible studies, which is a great thing to do, you're taking in. You're breathing in, so to speak. But if you don't breathe out, if you don't exhale, if you don't give back, you'll shrivel up and die. You'll shrivel up and die. You just will. And some of the most carnal people I've ever met in 25 years of ministry, some of the most carnal Christians I've ever met are people that know the Bible backwards and forwards. And they know that Bible like the back of their hand. Problem is, though, all they're doing is, for years now, they've just been inhaling, 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 taking in, taking in, taking in, and they never realize that it's about ministry. It's about giving back out. It's about taking what you've learned and helping somebody else. It's about ministry. It's about caring. It's about loving. It's about being compassionate. It's about showing grace. It's about loving people. Knowledge puffs up. Charity edifieth. And you know what? If you want to be as carnal as the day is long, just take in, take in, take in, and never give back out. You will shrivel up, die. You'll become a very prideful, very egotistical, you'll become a very puffed up individual. You got to minister. You have to breathe out. You got to give back. You got to be involved in ministry. You got to be involved helping people. It's so important. Not only that, but go back to 1 Corinthians 16. Not only is ministry the essence of the Christian life because you live out your salvation that way, But the second thing is, when you minister, you feel like a contributing member of the team. The church is very much like a team. Paul would use sports a lot as analogies. He must have loved sports, Paul, because he would use that analogy quite a bit. They had sports in Paul's day just like they do today. And he would use that analogy. Think about it. Think about the church, the local church. You got leaders, like coaches, on a team, and they're going to establish the vision, the goals, kind of the game plan, if you will. And then, of course, we've got a handbook. We got a playbook, right? And this clearly establishes our, you know, how we're to function and operate, the parameters. It gives us all that. And then you got different members with different abilities that do their part on the team. But the problem is that many churches function like what you saw on TV today if you watched any football. The problem is many churches function like what you saw on TV. And that is 22 guys on the football field playing their heart out, knocking their heads, trying to advance the ball. And you got 22 guys just going at it. And you got 22 guys doing that and 60,000 people in the stands cheering, booing, and second-guessing everything that goes on the field. And that's exactly how I'm afraid a lot of churches are. It's clear that in our text, 1 Corinthians 16 here, that the household of Stephanas, they knew their role on the team. And they were fulfilling it. Look at 15 again. I beseech you, brethren, I'm in 16:15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it's the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. These people were helping. They were helping. That's a great word, isn't it? Helping. They were helping the cause. They were laboring. They were ministering. They knew their role on the team. They were doing their part to move the gospel forward. Now, if you're saved, you're a member of God's team, right? We learned that this morning. You're part of His house. You're the habitation of God. You're part of the body of Christ. Now, if you're part of Crossroads, you're part of a local team. Remember, we're a local visible manifestation of the body of Christ. So if you're saved, you're part of God's team. And then if you're a part of a local church, you're part of a local team. A local, you know, God breaks that thing down and starts churches, like I said, all over the place to break it down so that we can then come together and work as a team to, as I said this morning, we're the pillar and ground of the truth, and we advance and we defend and we promote and we stand up for the truth of God here in this area, right? So we're all part of that team. Once you become a member of a local team, there is a role that you must fulfill. God wants you to become a contributing member of the team. And one of the things that I really encourage you to go online and find the Spiritual Gifts series in our archive that I just taught in the eLife. Thank you. I really enjoyed that series. And it really helped bring me back to see this thing that we're all on the team here, and we've all got, you know, we got different gifts and abilities, and it's knowing what your gift is and then using it, functioning on the team in the context of what your gifts are, because we've all got gifts. Those of you that were in my class, how many Christians have a spiritual gift? I'm so proud of you. Every Christian has a spiritual gift. That's exactly right. Every single believer has a gift. By the way, do you earn the gifts that God gives to minister? Do you have to earn them, or do they come at salvation? As soon as you get saved, you get that gift or gifts to minister. That's exactly right. Now, you got to grow and grow in the use of them, but yeah, you get them when you get saved. And God wants you to be and feel like a contributing member of the team. When we're part of a local church, we're not just there for consumption. All right? We're not just there for consumption. We're there for contribution. Did y'all get that? When you become part of a local church, you're not simply there for consumption, but you're also there for contribution. By the way, do we all benefit from our local church? Of course we do. There's a sense in which we all consume, right? There's consumption that happens on all of our parts. We all benefit from having a local church. But we're not in the church just for what it can give me and how I can consume. I'm there for contribution. And God has gifted you to be a contributing member of the team. But you'll never feel like a contributing member of the team until you minister. See? They were addicted to the ministry of the saints. Ministry is the essence of the Christian life. You know? And as we think about the huge ministry that is coming up, I want to encourage you, just let's all go into this with our heads screwed on straight, all right, with the right attitude, with the right spirit. And let's all go into this thing realizing we're not doing this for what we can get out of it. We're doing this to be a blessing to somebody else. We're doing this to help somebody else. We're doing this to give. It's about giving. See? Now, you're going to derive benefit from it. You're going to derive blessing. That's going to be a natural, you know, thing. And that's going to happen. But that's not why we're in it. This is ministry. This is for others. This is to be a blessing to someone else. Do you think folks will come through that door that maybe they know the Lord, but they're discouraged? Do you think that'll happen? Do you think there'll be people come through the door that are saved, but they do not have a church home and they need one? You think that'll happen? Do you think there's people that'll come through the door? They're going to church, but they've never heard the gospel. They're like me. They're in a church. I never heard the gospel of Christ clearly presented. Are there people that will come to walk through Bethlehem that are in that particular situation? You think so? Absolutely. Absolutely. You're going to have people come that are saved, but they're discouraged. They're saved, but they don't have a church home. They're saved, but they're addicted. They're in addiction, and they're living with guilt. You're going to have people come that are lost, that don't know Christ. You're going to have people coming that think they're saved, you know, but then they're, because they think that their good works are going to save them. And then they're going to go and they're going to hear the message that it is not through your good works. And man, the script is very, very clear that, you know what? We all need a Savior because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And they're going to hear that. And there'll be people come that are self-righteous and they think their good works are going to get them there. And they're going to hear that. And what I'm trying to say is there's going to be people coming. I was telling the lady from the news journal this story that I had a lady come one time to me after it was over. She came back into the auditorium after going through the city, came back in with tears rolling down her face. And she said, my husband's lost his job. We don't have any money. She said, the kids, she said, there'll be no gifts this year under the tree. She said, and this was our gift to each other to come to walk through Bethlehem. And she had tears streaming down her face, and she said, you will never know what this has meant to me and my kids and my family. That's why we're here. That's why we do this. It's to give. And you know what? I'm just believing this, that when you minister, you make an eternal difference in people's lives. How many of you would like to meet people in heaven that were impacted because of our ministry? Would that thrill your heart? In fact, can I show you one final verse and I'll be done? Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and I'll show you one final passage that I think will encourage you. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul started this church and he led these people to Christ. He discipled them. And in verse 19... 1 Thessalonians 2:19. Paul writes, for what is our hope? That's a great question. What's our hope? Or joy? What's our joy? What is our crown of rejoicing? That's a great question. What is my hope? What is my joy? What is my crown of rejoicing? Then he answers it. He says, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming, for ye, you are our glory and joy. That's very insightful and it's very challenging. Is the Bible not teaching here that in eternity, our glory, our joy, our crown of rejoicing is going to be connected? There's a connection there. That our joy in eternity is connected with the lives that we have impacted for Jesus Christ. That's powerful. That is powerful. You say, well, Pastor Dan, I would love to minister. I'd love for God to use me, but I don't feel worthy. And one of Satan's primary tools that he uses to paralyze people and to keep them from ministry is that idea that you're not worthy to be used of God. You're not worthy to be a vessel that he can use. You're not worthy to be able to make an impact on anybody's life. And can I submit to you the household of Stephanas that he mentioned that were addicted to ministry? They were not sinless and they were not a perfect household. They had problems just like the rest of us. And Satan will give you all kinds of reasons why you cannot minister. But I want you to know that the truth is this. If God has saved you, he has created you in Christ to minister, he has gifted you to minister, and he will use you.